ever since Governor Kathy Hochul kicked off next year's Democratic gubernatorial primary by announcing her plans to serve a full term, it seems like the field of contenders has been getting more and more crowded, with New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams and State Attorney General Letitia James jumping in the race, and a run by outgoing New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio seeming like a certainty at this point. With so many of the candidates and likely future candidates now hailing from New York City, or more specifically Brooklyn, we wanted to examine what this could mean as gubernatorial hopefuls try to solicit political support and eventually votes. And to do that, we're joined by Jeff Colton, senior reporter with City and State, who emerged as the journalistic rock star to follow during the 2021 municipal elections in the five boroughs. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you. Kind words. And all I have to say is that I used to live in Brooklyn, which is now the political epicenter of the state.
Exactly. Yeah. So as I mentioned at the top, we've got Kathy Hochul and a bunch of other candidates at this point. And Kathy Hochul is kind of all by herself in the Democratic primary, at least for now, as far as the upstate Democratic candidates are hailing from. But we have two candidates for sure hailing from Brooklyn, and Williams and James. Do either of the Kings County residents have an upper hand when it comes to winning votes in this borough? And how big of a prize should we think of Brooklyn in terms of a future statewide Democratic primary?
Well, I'll handle the second question first. Brooklyn, one county out of 62 counties in the state, is 20% of the Democratic primary vote. So a full one-fifth of Democratic primary voters live in Brooklyn alone. And look, it's no surprise that Brooklynites perform well in Brooklyn. Jumaane Williams dominated Brooklyn in his 2018 lieutenant governor run against none other than Kathy Hochul.
Right.
And Letitia James cleaned up there, at least did well in many parts of Brooklyn, in her 2018 attorney general run. So, they are both popular in Brooklyn. Both of them hail from central Brooklyn, the historically black areas there. And both of them have won the same voters in the past. However, if you're asking who has the upper hand, it's probably Letitia James. She is doing better in the polling. I mean, it's statewide polling, not Brooklyn specifically. Mm-hmm. But she's doing better in the polling than Jumaane Williams. There's a thought that if it comes down to, Brooklyn is deciding between the two of them, a lot are going to go with her. That said, look, Jumaane Williams is very popular in the more progressive-leaning parts of Brooklyn, the Williamsburg and Greenpoint and Bushwicks. And even if, Jumaane Williams lasts until the primary, he would also probably win a lot of votes in the borough.
And what about when it comes to the game of identity politics? What does the Democratic primary electorate in Brooklyn look like? I mean, Jumaane and Tish are both black Democrats, but the county is obviously more diverse than just black people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Brooklyn contains multitudes. You've got some of the most progressive Democratic socialist voters in the state living in Brooklyn. And then in southern Brooklyn, you've got some seriously deep red pockets that voted for Donald Trump. And many of them are Democrats and could vote in the Democratic primary, I should add. And then, of course, you've got tons and tons of moderates and, of course, a really strong base of black voters, black homeowners and black renters. So, I mean, it's all over the place. But one thing is that, yes, Brooklyn does really turn out, like I said, 20% of the Democratic primary vote. And it's going to be a key path to victory for anybody who wants to win the Democratic primary.
So obviously, Letitia James and Jumaane Williams, because they're from Brooklyn, have maybe more familiarity with the Brooklyn Democrats than, say, Kathy Hochul. But if there are these voters who ideologically might not be in line with them, who may be, like you said, those Trump Democrats or more moderate, middle-of-the-road Democrats, how far do you see that geographical benefit stretching? Could Kathy Hochul eat into the Brooklyn base?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Kathy Hochul is still going to be the Democratic incumbent. And I expect that she's also going to get a good amount of labor union endorsements, which should help secure some labor union voters in Brooklyn and really statewide. Even if we expect in the future that a Tish James or a Jumaane Williams would win the borough of Brooklyn and beat Kathy Hochul there. Hochul is still going to pick up votes. I mean, again, this we're looking to one of the most competitive Democratic gubernatorial primaries in a generation.
As we talk on Friday, November 19th, outgoing New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is not officially in the race, but is basically tipping his hand to indicate that he is going to jump in the race at some point. Otherwise, this has all been a real big tease lately. What does his background mean in terms of his ability to win support in Brooklyn?
So de Blasio, too, he has lived in Brooklyn for about 30 years. Yes, James and Williams are Brooklyn natives, but de Blasio is very much a Brooklynite, has really adopted the borough, you know, would still go back to his favorite coffee shop and, of course, famously his gym there, even when he was living in Gracie Mansion in Manhattan as mayor. So he's a dyed-in-the-wool Brooklynite. And look, de Blasio is not popular, but he is definitely more popular in Brooklyn, in Queens, particularly among more progressive Black voters than anywhere else in the city or anywhere else in the state. There is still some support for the mayor there. So if he does run for governor, look, I don't expect him to outperform Williams or James in Brooklyn, but he would definitely be eating into the margins there. And yes, if we're looking at a crowded Democratic primary, anybody eating into the margins, every little vote is probably going to help here for whoever wants to win. It's going to be very interesting.
And while Brooklyn is obviously the big prize here, the other four boroughs, just because of how many people there are also extremely important for any Democratic gubernatorial contender's path to the executive mansion. So when you think about, say, Manhattan and the Bronx, who among the New York City candidates that we've been talking about so far might have an edge there, either because of their politics or because of the alliances and partners that they've established along the way?
Well, I've been joking. You know, lately there have been stories in the political press that says, you know, Queens is the most important borough in the governor's race, and Brooklyn is the most important borough, and Manhattan is going to be the path to victory in the governor's race. Everybody wants to claim to being the most important place. But yeah, truth is that New York City makes up a huge percentage of the votes in any Democratic primary. Luckily, we have some data to look at here. I mean, look, Letitia James did win New York City in her 2018 attorney general race, her statewide race, and Kathy Hochul and ran against Jumaane Williams just 4 years ago in the 2018 race as well. Kathy Hochul cleaned up in Queens and the Bronx over Jumaane Williams, even though Williams is the New York City native and the New York City, you know, he has a history here, currently elected as a citywide public advocate. So, you know, I think Williams might perform well. You know what? It's too early to say. I don't know if he's going to outperform 2018. He did well in a two-person race against Kathy Hochul. He didn't win, but he only lost by about 6 percentage points, if I recall. It's going to be a different, much more crowded race for governor, it's looking like. And again, Hochul, as the incumbent, is certainly going to win votes in New York City, even though she hails from an 8-hour drive away in Buffalo. It's just going to be interesting to see how much time she's spending in New York, how she's trying to break into these communities that already know Williams and already know James.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Jeff Colton of City and State. And we've been talking about a crowded field, or the potential for a crowded field. The primary is in June, which is months away at this point. Do you think we'll actually see some of these contenders in the actual race? Will we actually see Jumaane Williams and Tish James on the ballot, or will one or both of them even potentially come off and step aside either for the other or because they just don't have the political support or for some other reason?
There is a lot of speculation around that fact. I mean, look, I wrote about the fact that James and Williams had a meal together a couple weeks ago, and essentially each of them tried to encourage the other one not to run for governor.
Yeah.
And here we are, both of them are running for governor. That said, petitioning doesn't start until, I think, March, we're looking like. So there are a number of months in between now and then before we find out who actually makes it onto the Democratic primary ballot. Yes, there are a lot of allies, particularly James allies, who are really trying to encourage Jumaane Williams not to run. The fact is, Williams just got reelected as New York City public advocate. He has his job safe for another 4 years, most likely another 8 years, since I don't think he would have a tough time running for reelection again. And he's young. And there's a thought that, look, kind of wait your turn. You know, we have Letitia James here. She could be the first Black woman elected governor, not just in New York, but the first Black woman elected governor in the state of New York. Now, that's only one argument that a lot of James's allies are making. There's, of course, arguments, too, for Williams and for Hochul and for all the other candidates. You know, Williams is certainly running on a more progressive platform than the rest of the rest of the field, and wants to use this as a almost Bernie Sanders-esque capacity building exercise to build the progressive movement across New York State. And there's arguments for that as well. And he wants to keep Letitia James out so he can do that and run against Kathy Hochul. It's going to be interesting to see, yes, the behind the scenes maneuvering over the next few months as the candidates continue to try to encourage each other not to run in the primary.
As the de facto establishment back candidate, I don't think Hochul is going to have much of a challenge getting on the ballot for the actual primary either, because of the mechanisms that are available to her through the state convention next year, or if she has to, through actual petitioning. Do you think Letitia James, Jumaane Williams, Bill de Blasio have access to the political infrastructure that they would need in order to collect the thousands of signatures across much of the state in order to actually qualify for the ballot?
Yeah, look, I think they all would be able to make the ballot, those four, if they wanted to. You know, certainly Jumaane Williams has a base of low dollar supporters across the state. They would be willing to go out and petition for him. Letitia James, absolutely. She's already done it as Attorney General and will probably have some labor union support. Hochul, yes, no problem. She is most likely going to get on the ballot by acclamation at the State Democratic Party convention. She has the support of State Democratic Chair Jay Jacobs, so no problem there. Bill de Blasio, look, we'll see if he runs, but even so, he is the mayor of New York City. He has allies out there, and he has some money that he could raise. I think if anybody wanted to get on the ballot of those four, they could. And so that's not going to be the challenge. The challenge will be whether they think they can win and whether it's worth actually, you know, staying in this race until June, particularly for those who are trying to challenge Kathy Hochul.
As far as I'm aware, there's not a Latino or Latina candidate who is considering running for governor on the Democratic line, at least at this point. What does that mean for a relatively powerful demographic in New York City Democratic politics?
Oh, yeah, this has really been the talk of the town lately, because we are now entering another kind of political season with no Latinos elected in any citywide or statewide positions. We have had some big wins for the community. Antonio Reynoso is going to be Brooklyn Borough President, a Latino. Eric Gonzalez is currently the Brooklyn District Attorney and is widely expected to run for State Attorney General next year. So there are some bright spots among Latino political representation. But there's also kind of a lot of disappointment that it just hasn't happened yet, that there has never been an elected citywide Latino or statewide. So, look, it's not going to happen in the governor's race, it seems, but there are opportunities for the attorney general seat. And, you know, sooner, there's a lot of talk about the New York City Council speakership, probably the second most politically powerful position in New York City. We have three Latinos in the mix right now for that position. So there's an opportunity very soon for some Latino representation in New York City.
And while Kathy Hochul won't be actually running in the primary as a ticket with Brian Benjamin, her current lieutenant governor, they are, for all intents and purposes, a ticket in the primary, but even though people elect them separately, does that help her in any meaningful way? Do you think there are New York City voters who will factor who the LG is when making their choice for the top of the ticket in the primary?
You know, I don't know if it's really going to help at the ballot box. That said, you know, Brian Benjamin is a good ally to have. He has a lot of connections in New York City. Well, there was quite a bit of news we just saw with one of his campaign donors just got indicted for a kind of a straw donor scheme, alleged straw donor scheme.
Right.
We'll see where that goes. Not a good look for the lieutenant governor. That said, yes, you know, he opened some doors, particularly in Harlem. That's his political base there. However, admittedly, Brian Benjamin just ran for city comptroller in New York, and he got like third place in his own Senate district. Really disappointing run there as far. I mean, look, it worked out for him. He is now the lieutenant governor, so all respect given there. But, you know, Brian Benjamin is not exactly known as an electoral powerhouse. So that was a good choice, I think, from a governing perspective. It's gotten a lot of high marks, Hochul's choice of Benjamin. But from a political perspective, I'm not sure how much of a boost, how much juice Benjamin is going to give her, especially given the fact that, yes, the governor and lieutenant governor actually do run on separate ballot lines. You know, you vote for them separately.
And finally, as a Long Island congressman, how does someone like Tom Suozzi fit into this Democratic primary for governor if he runs in the context of New York City? For example, does he draw votes from Queens Democrats simply because of his proximity to the area, or does geography only go so far in this type of case?
Look, for somebody like Suozzi, it's not just about geography. It's also about this kind of thought that he represents a more suburban, homeowning kind of politics or kind of lifestyle. You know, he lives on Long Island. He represents a much more suburban district than the other candidates here. And I think that can resonate among more conservatives and homeowners across the city and across the state. He would be running most likely to the right of Hochul and the rest of the field, kind of pushing for a more moderate, more business friendly angle, which I think would be an interesting counterweight. It would be yet another factor in a complicated Democratic primary here. I don't think he would perform that well in New York City, frankly, because it is a more progressive leaning than the rest of the state, even among the registered Democrats. But it would be another factor, and you know, I think he would certainly get some support, especially in the more suburban, less dense areas of the city.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Jeff Colton. He's a senior reporter with City and State. Jeff, thank you so much for making the time, and we look forward to some dispatches from New York City over the next 6 to 7 months.
My pleasure. I'm sure a lot is going to change in the next few months, and I'm eager to talk about it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.